Well, good morning. My name is Troy Roberts. Steve Nelson is our pastor, but he's preaching on the east side today. We have one church that meets in two locations, here and over by the airport. And so Steve's there today. So if I have the opportunity to speak with you today. My family's been part of Rio for about 3 years. We've been blessed tremendously by the relationships that we have with the people here. And my family usually worships on the east side, and so most of us are here today, but we have a few stragglers helping out on the east side church today. And so we're just going to jump into it. We've been going through a series on Galatians, and I get a chance to bring you the end of chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4. And so, you know, Steve had talked with you, I guess the last section that you went over, Steve had looked at a section in chapter 3 that talked about how grace trumps obedience. And today we get to talk about how we're sons and heirs through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's just a life-giving section of Scripture. And so we'll go through that. But let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can know you because of your invitation. We can know you because of the work that you've done to make yourself known to us. We can know you because of the sacrifice Christ made upon the cross that we might be redeemed. So we thank you for the opportunity to not only know your name, but to know you and to have fellowship with you, to be able to sing to you and pray to you and seek your counsel. There's no greater relationship that we can have on the face of the earth, Lord. And we realize that we have it because of you. So thank you for allowing us to meet together this morning, openly, joyously, loudly, without the fear of anybody knocking on the door and telling us to stop, making us stop. We thank you that we can worship you without any fear of persecution. We thank you that we have the opportunity to come together freely. May you be blessed with our time together this morning, and may we all leave just having a greater love for you and a greater desire to be with you, a greater joy in our worship, because, Lord, this is just a prep for stepping into eternity and being able to do that for the rest of time. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So let's start with just reading. We're going to read Chapter 3, verse 26 through chapter 4, verse 7. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. So out of that section, there's a lot that we could look at, but we're going to focus on three things. In the beginning of that section, Paul makes a comment about through faith. So we're going to look at what's it mean through faith. And then, throughout that section, Paul emphasizes this issue of being sons. We'll look at that. And then he closes out that section with a comment that God also makes you an heir. And so we're going to look at that. So those are the three things that we're going to look at today. So the first one is through faith. What does Paul mean by that? He opens this section by saying, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Through faith. What he's getting at there is faith is this manner through which the enemies of God, Bible says that we are enemies of God before we come to Him, that we're transformed into sons of God. So faith is apparently something incredibly important. See, our relationship with God does not come through earthly heritage, human accomplishments, status, or earthly standards. It comes through faith. The Judaizers were working real hard at making everybody understand, yes, you can have faith, but you need to do all of this other stuff. And Paul is adamantly working against that. He goes back through verse 38 in chapter 3. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. That would refer to ethnic or racial divisions. There's neither slave nor free, divisions by some type of social standard. He says there's neither male nor female, division by gender. He's breaking this down. There's not this or this, this or this, this or this. You're all one in Christ Jesus. So let's take a minute and look at this. There is neither blank nor blank. If we look at society today, if we look at the church today, we see divisions. You may see different divisions than somebody else, but a lot of times we look at the church and we see these divisions. We may see divisions along the lines of, are you a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian? Are you some denomination or another, or are you non-denominational? We might see divisions that come in and say, really? Are you a Calvinist or an Arminianist? Well, guys, if you're either one of those, get ready. I think you're going to find a whole lot of the other ones in heaven too. Maybe it's divisions on, are you Pentecostal? Are you holiness? Are you prosperity? You know, what is it that you believe? You know, I grew up in the Baptist church, and we had Hardwater Baptist, Saltwater Baptist, Southern Baptist. We had all these different Baptist groups. And it was like, oh, really, heathen? You know, and so there's all these divisions that are out there. Maybe it's a division between are you gifted or not? Maybe it's a division of, you know, are you in leadership or not? Maybe it's the division that says you're just not as mature as you should be. There's all these divisions that are out there. And we have to acknowledge them. But here's the question. How do those divisions affect the ability of the body of Christ to accomplish its mission and purpose? Are those divisions there? How are they hindering us? How do they affect our ability to be ambassadors of Christ? When we see those divisions and we play into those divisions, can we be good ambassadors of Christ? What about how those divisions affect our desire to reach out to the lost? Do we look at people and we say, oh, there's no hope for him, so I'm not going to talk to him? Or, I don't like that kind of person in my church. I'm not going to reach out to them. How do they affect us? Because what we're seeing from Paul is there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither this nor that. Whatever you want to put in the gaps. How does the divisions within the church affect the willingness of the lost to hear the message of the gospel of Christ? As long as we have these divisions going on, the rest of the world, they look at us and they go, really? Why should I listen to you? You guys can't even get along yourselves. And so we have to be careful of this. Last week, Emily came to me. She had a friend, on someone she knows on Facebook, post a very, very heated point that they were really mad, they didn't use that language, really mad at Christians who reject homeless people. And it started this firestorm of responses. Yeah, Christians are so judgmental, and Christians this, and it was Christians writing this stuff. That's what got me. They're blasting other Christians for not having a heart for homeless people and not doing this and not doing that. And they hate people with tattoos and they hate this and this and this. And Emily brings it to me and she goes, here's what I'd like to write. What do you think? And I was like, absolutely. So Emily gets on Facebook and she responds to this. And for those of you who don't know Emily, she's just turned 20. She's a college student. She's learning how to transition out of being a kid into an adult and how to walk through these waters of stuff that gets thrown out on Facebook that people just like to inflame everybody else. So she came to me and she showed me what she wanted to write. And I said, that's really good. You got to put it on there. And she responded by saying along these lines, basically, you know, instead of tearing other people down for what they're not doing, shouldn't we as a Christian build others up by telling them what we are doing? And she talked a little bit about what our family does. Guess what happened to the conversation? It totally flipped. And it quit being throwing mud at people, Christians who don't do. And there was a few kind comments, and then it went away. There's divisions out there. We have to understand that the rest of the world is looking at our divisions, and they're going, what about that? So, since there is neither this nor that, my question is this. How will you, how will I, how will we address, how do we break down those divisions? And I believe, based on what Paul is writing, it's very simple. We live with the humble understanding that our salvation is through faith in Christ and not something we earned or deserved. See, if we look at what Paul is saying, there's neither this nor that. We don't have to have divisions because you know what? We all got here the same way. We all got here through faith. It's not something I earned. It's not something I deserve. And when I sit down and I think about my faith, the assurance of salvation that I have, and I think about what I brought to the table, I am amazed that God looked down and said, I love you, son. We got nothing to boast on because the only thing that we brought to the table was sin. And Christ says, you know what? There's room for you because I desire that none should perish. So I invite you into my family. So there doesn't need to be any divisions. There's another division that goes on that I think that we have to be very careful of. And it's that division that says, we're over here, life is good, and I'm happy about it, and everything's going wonderful. And we forget about our brothers and sisters who are in other parts of the world who are living tortured lives. Watch the news. There are Christians in other parts of the world who are being butchered. That's us. They are part of the body of Christ. We need to be on our knees praying for them. We need to be caring for them. We can't run over there and do anything, but you know what? We can cry out in prayer for them. And we can be sensitive to what's going on. We should not have divisions about stuff. Paul is saying, you know what? It's through faith. It is through faith you're saved. See, our faith in Christ is the great equalizer. It brings us from the farthest reaches of the human experience, frees us from the shackles of prejudice and indifference, and grants us a common standing. Through our faith in Christ, we are all sons of God. There's no division. And I'm grateful for that. So it's through faith Christ brings us as enemies into his family. And then Paul spends some time talking about you are all sons. Now, if we look through other sections of Scripture, we can see that a lot of times we're referred to as children of God. And God is even talking in 2 Corinthians 6:8, 6:18, and he refers to us as sons and daughters. So why does Paul take so much time emphasizing that we're sons? Paul finally revealing a chauvinistic side of himself? Not really. In the beginning of this passage, he says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Toward the end of it, he says that we might receive the full rights of sons. And then he says in the last two verses, he says, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, so that you're no longer a slave, but a son. So he's bringing us into this, but There's a reason Paul's focusing on sons at this point. And it's simply this, that there's neither male nor female. So since there's neither male nor female, I want you to be invited into my family as a son, because both the Jewish and the Greek cultures had a facet about them that daughters didn't have the same privileges, the same rights, the same expectations as sons. And Paul is really wanting to get across, because there's no Greek nor Jew, there's no free nor slave, there is no male or female, guess what? All of you are welcomed into God's family as sons. There are no second-class citizens in God's family. You're not, okay, some of you get to be sons, some of you just get to be, I'll acknowledge you as kids, but you're not going to receive the full rights of sons. So he pushes this, and think about what this does to not just the Gentiles who are realizing, I can be a son too. What about to the women who are used to being minimized, marginalized, outside? And Paul is saying, no, all of you, you're welcomed in as sons. That had to be just, well, first off, it was counterculture. It was completely against what everything else had been taught. And Paul is saying, no, you need to understand, these Judaizers, they're trying to get you messed up. They're trying to take you back into to other things. But I want to bring you into this understanding. You're all sons. That would be incredibly exciting. And so, tremendous hope that gets passed on to the people. But then he not only says, you're going to be sons. Think about it. How many families are made up of maybe natural children, adopted children, children that come into the marriage or come into the family through marriage, maybe foster kids? There's lots of ways that a child comes into a family. And Paul is saying, look, it doesn't matter how you got here. What matters, of course, it's all going to be through faith in this respect. But Paul is saying, you all have full rights of sons. That would be incredibly exciting. Paul passing this on to these people was encouraging. It was counterculture. It was amazing. It was not something that these people would have fully expected. See, those who were not sons will receive the full rights of sons when they place their faith in Christ. And this is the concept of adoption. See, adoption is meant to be permanent. It's intentional. You don't just wake up one day and go, oh, really? We adopted? When did we do that? I didn't know we did that. No, you wake up and you go, we're going to adopt. And we're not just throwing the net out to whatever. No, you go out and you intentionally say, I want to adopt you. I want you to come from where you've been into my family. You will be equally accepted in my family, equally loved. There will be no rights segregated between my natural children and you. I am intentionally bringing you in. And this is not just for a season. This isn't just for a trial. When you adopt, it's not a probationary period. When you adopt, you say, from this moment forward, you are my child. And that's what God's doing. And that's what Paul's communicating. All of you have full rights as sons. And that too should be encouraging to us. There's other places where this whole idea of adoption, and when you're being adopted in and you have the full rights of sons, there is this issue of inheritance. Look at Psalm 94:14. It says, for the Lord will not reject the people. He will never forsake his inheritance. You're not going to wake up one day and God go, you know what? I messed up. I'm sorry. I'm yanking your privileges. He doesn't do that. From God's perspective, once we're a son, we are a son for eternity. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. It's not an adoption that's conditional. We can't mess it up, because it's all on God saying, I'm adopting you. I'm bringing you in. Joshua 1:5. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Which one of us wants conditional, temporary love? None of us. None of us want to enter into a marriage. And for those people that you see in Hollywood that have all these prenups and stuff like that, I think how sad. You know what? Put all your cards on the table and go all in. Babe Ruth was known for making home runs, but guess what? He also struck out more than anybody. But he was all in. None of us want a temporary love. And God doesn't extend a temporary love. He extends permanent love. And that's what Paul is trying to get across to these people. Not only will you be invited into God's family through faith, but you'll be invited in as sons with full rights. And there's an inheritance as the son with full rights. There's an inheritance that comes your way. And God will never leave you nor forsake you. The fact that we have full rights as sons, that represents the extent of acceptance extended to those who place their faith in Christ Jesus. They receive the full rights. Greeks were now accepted like the Jews. Slaves and free were equally accepted. That might not change the way that their life is every day, but before God, their owners knew that they were their brothers, and their, you know, it brings this unity that takes place. The women were accepted equally as the men because they all had full rights. There's no divisions. In chapter 4, verse 5, again, the fact that we can receive the full rights of sons, that had to be a piercing light that came through. Because think about it. Look at Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. That's pretty bleak, isn't it? That's pretty locked tight. All have sinned. All have fallen short. You're all toast. And you know what? The wages for what you've done, it's death. But what Paul is writing here is that through faith in Christ, you're accepted as a son with full rights. So the dark, bleak truths of Romans 3:23 and 6:23, that all have fallen short of the glory of God and the wages of sin are death, that's pierced with hope when we consider this truth. We all are sons of God because of our faith in Christ Jesus, and we will receive the full rights of sons. That's incredibly hopeful. And because we're sons, we're an heir. Look what Colossians 1:11-14 talks about. Joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom. Who qualified you? You did? No. Can you imagine what that process would look like? It'd be a nightmare. But God the Father qualifies us. You're my son. You're my son. You're my son. With full rights and an inheritance. Colossians 3:24, you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. And 1 Peter 1:3-5 says, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Guys, we are in a winning situation here. The God of all creation invites us in, regardless of our past, regardless of where we grew up, regardless of our standings, regardless of our accomplishments, regardless of our aptitudes, regardless of everything about us. He makes us sons, and then he grants us an inheritance. And especially the Gentiles and the women would have been incredibly excited about this. Paul repeats what he had said earlier, and it says, understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. You know, it's not an issue of were you raised this way, did you come from this line or that line? Who are your ancestors? No, it's the fact that you had faith. That's what makes you a child of Abraham. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, and we're going to look at a Scripture about that in just a second, and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Look what Paul writes in Galatians. He's writing, to the Ephesians. And this mirrors what he's saying in Galatians. He says, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Gentiles, that's who you were. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, he who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. This is the letter that Paul was writing to the Ephesians. It goes along with what we're reading in Paul's letter to the Galatians, and it applies to us as well. We were far off. I don't know if you ever look back at your life before you came to Christ. I do. Because when I look back at my life, it's humbling to think where I am now. And I don't look back in longing and desire and want to go back. I look back and I look at it and I go, Lord, you were after me even then. Thank you. And it leaves me humbled that, you know what, I got nothing to boast on. And so as we look back at this section, keep in mind, Paul's reminding them wonderfully, it's through your faith that you have all of this. And because of your faith, you get welcomed in as sons. You don't have to worry about where you came from or all this other stuff. You're welcomed as sons. And you're not, none of you are second-rate sons. You're all sons with full rights. And you get an inheritance. That inheritance that he's talking to them about is that inheritance that was offered to Abraham, that the whole world would be blessed through them. Do you ever think about the fact that the world's going to be blessed through you? How will the world be blessed through you? Through your faith. Having that faith in the Lord. So let's read back through this section. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I'm saying that is, as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns a whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time is set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Please don't miss the intimacy that Paul is pointing toward here. You were out there. You were separate. You were foreigners. You were aliens. You were out there. And you've now been brought in. Not only brought into the household, but brought in as sons. Brought in with all the full rights of sons. There's an inheritance for you. And there's intimacy now. You don't have to worry about being estranged from God. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. This is a beautiful piece of scripture that should allow us to have full confidence in who our God is and what our relationship is with him. We're not on probation. God doesn't bring us in and say, okay, we'll give you 5 years. You screw up in those 5 years, I'm pulling the plug. No, it's at that moment we now have full rights as sons. The moment we come to faith, we can have the assurance of salvation. We can have the assurance that all of this is mine because of my faith. See, God invites his enemies into his family through repentance, which we didn't get into today. But repentance is one of those things that God says, you know what? There needs to be repentance. But we talked very much about this faith in Jesus Christ. Regardless of our earthly standards, achievements, or setbacks. Well, but I was born in this. I was born into that. My parents were those. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. Come to faith. However, the converse of this is true, that, see, without faith in Christ, we'll never be welcomed into God's family. We will not be recognized as his sons, and we will never experience his inheritance. A lot of people want heaven. They want to be in heaven. They want to avoid pain. They just don't want Jesus to be there. And Jesus is saying, you know what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. You need me. And guess what? I'm not hiding either. But let's look at our sonship. See, our sonship is neither a position to be flaunted, a cause for arrogance, nor a license for misbehaving. Our sonship should create humility in us. Because I was the one adopted with intent, with purpose, with desire. God is the one who bestowed those privileges of sonship upon me. It's not something I negotiated. It's not something I worked through. It was all a gift. So in that case, really, the only response I have is humility. God, thank you. I don't deserve this, but thank you. So see, we're all sons and heirs because of what God has done for us. And it applies to us. But as you look around, I hope that it will also help you break down any barriers that are in those divisions. Let's break those down. When we see people who aren't saved, Let's offer them the same salvation that Christ offered us. Come to faith. And you'll get to have all those same rights as any other child of God. Let's be humble in our presentation of the gospel. Let's be humble with each other. Let's not see those divisions of gifted and ungifted, more sanctified, less sanctified, more mature, less mature. Oh, but they believe this or this or this. You know what? The rest of the world's looking at us and they're saying, you know what? Just stop. Last night, during first service, and I'll talk about first service in a second. I'll do it now. First service, we meet in the parking lot. We meet out there at 12:30 on Sunday mornings. And we start grilling hot dogs about 1 a.m. And we pass out hot dogs to people that come out of the club. Last night, we went through about 130 hot dogs. That's a lot of people coming over. And we talk to them. We learn their names if the best we can. We talk to them. We love on them. And when the chance is there, we share the gospel with them. One guy came up last night, and I called him by name. And later, he came back, and he goes, "That really meant a lot that you remembered my name." You know what? God remembers our names. Let's remember other people's names. But one guy came up and he says, "Listen, my mother was a this and my dad was a that and my grandmother was a this. Which one's right?" And that's the kind of conversation we had. And I just brought it back to, it starts with faith in Christ. So we're not going to get into all the divisions. It comes back to faith in Christ. So as we look at the fact that we are sons and heirs through our faith in Jesus Christ, let's actively work at breaking that other stuff down. Let's actively sit there and just be humble. Lord, thank you that you made me a son. And with that, what else do we have? Lord, thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are sons. That if we have placed our faith in Christ, then we're secure. We have eternity. We are sons of God. We are sons who have the full rights of inheritance. Your word even talks about how we're co-heirs with Christ. That Jesus is sharing his inheritance with us. Willingly, he died on the cross that we might be saved. Thank you. Thank you that it's not something that we have to earn, because that would be a nightmare. So thank you that our salvation is a free gift. Thank you that you're reaching out to us. And thank you that there are no second-class citizens in heaven. You play no favorites. Once we are your child, we are fully and permanently your child. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for the gift of being able to meet together as part of the body of Christ. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen. So as the band comes up, I'm going to throw one last thought out at you. Next weekend is daylight savings, so set your clocks. We will know who doesn't by what time you get here.